Sports Gamble Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast NFL Week 4 Breakdown. Manny, I want to congratulate you on your winning week on Manny's Best Bets. How are you feeling right now, man? What's going on?
It's just another week, man. Just got to get to work.
Just another sandwich you got to eat?
No, man, it's a Hot Pocket.
Oh, dude, that's... Okay. Hot Pocket. Hey, So you went 2-1, man. I like that. The two of the picks were, I think, sure bets from the start. The Redskins getting the points.
I don't know. If you're not watching the games, the Redskins, they got off to a slow start. I think they were like down 21-9, if I remember correctly. They couldn't quite convert in the red zone. And, you know, and it was field day for their kicker. I think the Redskin kicker had like five field goals. 5 for 5, special teams player of the week, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but they were also moving the ball, it seemed, pretty easily against them. Until it got to the red zone, they kind of stalled. But I like how they were moving the ball, and better performance by Kirk Cousins. Also, man, you picked the Bills, and that was a great pick. LeSean McCoy looking like a really good fantasy option lately.
Yeah, I know. You can't be happy if you're a Cardinals fan. You almost got to be like, what's going on, Carson? All right, snap out of it. And I don't think he is.
Yeah, that's tricky, man. I don't know if he's going to either. Your one loss. What's going on?
No, the one loss was the Jets, man. They decided not to show up. And, I mean, the thing is, it was a total bad read. Like, I was really dwelling on that because I was kind of looking past Fitzpatrick's faults, and he did it to me. Fucking 6 interceptions. So...
Well,
I'll fall for that one again.
No, I would take your own advice, man. Don't dwell on it. Have a short memory and reevaluate and look forward to next week. I missed my bet. It was the Miami Dolphins. 10 points is a lot. It was a very square bet, and I paid for it. So with that being said, let's move on to week 4.
Let me ask you something. Are you too big of a fan? I mean, because the double-digit money that was right was, you know, fading the Niners. I think I read somewhere that was like the Seattle Seahawks have 10 straight covers against the San Francisco 49ers. Did you know about that?
Am I too big of a fan to not bet against the Niners? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, to not see, I guess, you know, I guess you're in the forest. You're like, man, I can't do it.
Well, my answer would be yes, I am too big of a fan. That's why I usually don't put money on it because I feel like I might be putting too much bias, you know, so I don't want to taint that with a bet. Now, sometimes I will get stupid and I will put money on the Niners, and then I'm like, yes, you know, I hope they win and there's a better outcome because I win money. But maybe I should do the opposite. Maybe I should bet against them because either I win money or the Niners do well. So it's a win-win situation. I think you're onto something there, Emmanuel.
Hey, whatever brings the winnings.
Yeah. Anyways, let's look at this week's lines. As always, we're going to break down the lines. I want people to pay attention to the totals because that means Vegas expects more points, and Vegas does know what they're talking about. More points equals more fantasy points. So that's something always to consider. All right, coming up Thursday, Miami at Cincinnati. This total is 44.5. Cincinnati are 7.5-point favorites at home. Cincinnati's coming off a loss, Manuel. Is that going to affect the way you might approach betting this game?
Back-to-back losses. In my book, they really should be 0-3. I was fairly optimistic about Cincinnati, but now I got to reassess the situation, and I don't really – I think I missed the boat. I think Hugh Jackson really is the key that turned this lock, you know, because I don't think the offense is the same as last year. The defense is a year older, and, you know, they're like now 3 years removed from Zimmer being gone. He's the Minnesota Vikings head coach. I don't think all is right with the Bengals. I know it's easy to say it after, you know, 3 weeks. I mean, they have had legitimate competition, the Broncos, Steelers, and the Jets. And it was at the Jets, so they should bring their A game, but 7.5 is just a little bit too pricey for me to lay. knowing that it is, you know, 3 days rest and anything can happen, that, you know, you got to toss the records out the window on Thursday night, because Gaze is a competent head coach, in my opinion, the Dolphins head coach.
Yeah. And if, you know, from a fantasy perspective, if you're having to start anybody else besides maybe AJ Green or Jarvis Landry, then that's probably not a good situation for you. We started Kenyon Drake in one of our leagues, the Miami running back. He got the same amount of carries as, I think he led the team in carries, but Ajayi and Williams got the touchdowns. Currently, you can get Williams and Drake at the minimum, $3K for DraftKings. Ajayi is a little more expensive at $4K. I really don't want to play anybody from this backfield if I can help it. And if I'm going to play someone from Cincinnati, even though it's still Jeremy Hill got those touchdowns last week, his yards per carry were not that great. Gio Bernard gets the catches in a PPR league. Those are the only players I'm really looking at. But it's a Thursday game, man. I don't like to play. I don't like to make Thursday plays. That's just me.
Yeah, exactly. The money's coming in on the Cincinnati Bengals at home. You know, they had an incredible against the spread record the last couple of years, but 7.5 is a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. Let's move on to the next game. We have finally a London game, man. I couldn't wait to wake up in the morning, and it's already the second quarter. Actually, now how early I wake up, I'll probably be up before the game starts. It starts at 6:30 a.m. Pacific, Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Indianapolis are 2.5-point favorites. I don't want to call this a home game for the Jags because they are not at home. So they are underdogs on a neutral site. Manuel, Philip Dorsett, there's no Moncrief. Is he going to get more love this week?
I don't know, man. Apparently people are telling me that this Jacksonville Jaguar secondary is pretty good. I don't know if to buy it. They've gone up against you know, a very aging wide receiver core and the Baltimore Ravens. They did manage to slow down Aaron Rodgers in week one. And then, you know, they crapped the bed in San Diego week two. But just these games are, I guess that's what makes it so fun. You know, nothing can be really shock you. I guess 2 years in a row, coach has been fired. So if the Jacksonville Jaguars don't bring home the money, then there's a straight up money line. As an underdog, I guess their coach, Gus Bradley, I think his name is, could get walking papers or not even fly back home with the team. So
they're going to leave him. They're going to leave that fool in London?
Yeah.
He's going to go hit up the pub and have a pint or two?
I think that's what the Raiders did 1 year. And, you know, the Dolphins did it last year as well.
You think the old Raiders coach is still lonely at some pub in London, just watching the game over and over again?
Well, no, because the old Raiders coach that happened to was a defense coordinator for the New Orleans Saints. But he probably wishes he was in a pub coaching that defense.
True, true. Hey, I think that Chris Ivory's a sneaky play. I think that this could be a game where he's feeling more healthy. They're probably going to want to run the ball a little more and get Blake Bortles more comfortable, because he doesn't seem that comfortable from what I've seen of him. But the over-under is 49, man.
What is going on with Chris Ivory, though? I feel more comfortable about playing him if we actually knew what happened to him. What was his undisclosed injury? It sounds like a bad Martin Sheen weekend. Like,
all right.
I mean, Charlie Sheen. Like, well, I mean, all these fucking NFL insiders. You got, you know, Schefter getting sued by Pierre Paul for privacy invasion. Can't all these motherfuckers get the job done and do some intel and find out if he was just, you know, maybe he was with Lamar Odom. They were tag teaming some prostitutes in brothels in Florida. I don't know.
And he threw his back out or something because of that? I mean, maybe that's why they're not releasing the medical info, is because they
maybe
don't
he pulled
get
his groin.
Oh, I see. I don't know, man, but all I know is TJ Yeldon, when he gets carries, he doesn't do much with them. And I think you can run on the Colts. And this might be a sneaky game for Chris Ivory. He's really cheap, 3.7K. If you're playing a tournament that uses the morning game, the early, super early London game. Also, I think this could be an over game, and there's going to be points. I think there could be some fantasy goodness. This could be a good Blake Bortles game and a good Andrew Luck game, and I would not be surprised.
Well, they said the field is crap. So I don't know who that helps, but I guess the offense is, because, you know, the offense knows where it's going. If the defense still have its footing, then There goes over.
Yep. All right, next up, the start of the normal early games at 10 o'clock. We have Carolina Panthers on the road at the Falcons, and Carolina 3-point favorites on the road. 2 weeks ago, you probably would have said there would be 10-point favorites, but they got manhandled. Is the Carolina offense bad, or is the Minnesota defense that good?
The Minnesota defense is the best in the NFL.
Wow, you heard it here first. The best in the NFL, better than the Broncos?
Yeah.
Better than the Seahawks? Better than the Broncos.
Yeah, better than the Seahawks. The Seahawks, they are the second best NFL right now, but I mean, statistically speaking, they've played the Niners, the Rams, and the Dolphins. Not exactly quarterbacks that are going to move the ball up and down on you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I really have respect for what the Vikings have done. You know, back-to-back weeks, they shut down Aaron Rodgers, got the W, and they shut down Cam Newton. Those are arguably, not even arguably, I would say the two best quarterbacks in the game right now. You know, Brady's right. Not here, so that's pretty impressive. This is a really interesting line because you know the books are going to be praying for the Panthers, for the Falcons to get hang in there, you know, and this is a tough situation. You have the Falcons on a short week. They just had the game of their lives in the Superdome, see Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. But this is a different animal. The Carolina defense is a different animal than the Saints defense. I mean, yeah, I mean, Matt Ryan doesn't scare anybody. We know Julio's not 100%. So maybe this is a game where Cam Newton gets healthy. You know, he was sacked 8 times. I don't think he's all of a sudden immobile. I just think the Minnesota Vikings defense is that good. The Atlanta Falcons, they have no pass rush. I still am a believer in that. So I'm not going to lay it. Be that as it may, as you know me, I'll just maybe wait. Hopefully this line goes up to 4.5 or something like that, you know?
Right.
Because I do think the Panthers are fairly flawed this year, but the Falcons defense on a short week, and I'm not betting on that at 3.
I totally agree with you. I think the side to take, if you're going to take a side, is probably Carolina. I know that sounds, you know, like the chalk play. I do like Cam Newton to have a really good bounce back game. He's always one of the most expensive quarterbacks, but because he gets those carries, he's usually worth it. And Matt Ryan, quietly, can we say quietly? He's a top 5 fantasy quarterback in pretty much every format. And he's at home. He usually does pretty good at home. I think if the Niners can put up some points on Carolina, maybe Atlanta can too. So don't be afraid to throw some Falcons out there, I would say.
No, but like who? I mean, be specific, because I mean, we talked about it before. I think if you're a Julio Jones owner, you should be scared. He's pretty much out there being a decoy. They're throwing it to him, and he's getting 3, 4, 5 targets a game. And those balls have no shot at all. Like, it's almost like they don't want to be caught because they don't want him to get tackled.
Oh, so you think that's what I see. He's injured, you think? You think he's we know he's injured. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I think he's injured more than they lead on, actually.
Right. Well, what I was saying, you know, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, they're both going to get work, so that's good. Now, if Julio's out, I like Jacob Tammy a lot, or from what you're saying.
I don't think Julio's going to be out. I think they'll just use him as a decoy, but that's what's preventing me from betting this over. It is 50.5, and
right.
I just think that the Falcons can utilize that running game to play keep away from Cam Newton. You know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, 50 is a lot of points. That's one of the highest point totals a week. I just think that Carolina is the kind of team to not really let off the gas, and Cam Newton's, you know, always down to take a few shots deep. So points will be scored. And if Carolina jumps out, Atlanta's got to catch up. That means a lot of dump-offs, Freeman and Coleman, and maybe even, you know, Julio Jones could have one of those 10 catches for 110-yard games.
But I really want to put the Carolina Panthers under the microscope and let everybody know that this isn't the Carolina Panthers team from not even 2 weeks ago. You know, now you have injuries along that offensive line. Jonathan Stewart's not there, so the play-action pass isn't there. You know, the safeties and the linebackers are not respecting, you know, the run-pass option. So this is different. I mean, I know it takes a pretty special performance, but how many catches did Kelvin Benjamin have last week?
Freaking zero.
Exactly. And I know we're saying, well, that means he's due. And he could be, but this is – yeah, that's why you don't just go out there and just lay three like nothing.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Let's move on, man. We got the Titans at the Houston Texans. No J.J. Watt, maybe for the rest of the year. Houston, 4.5-point favorites at home. The over-under is 40.5. What do you think, Manny?
Yeah, I think the Texans are going to kill the Titans. The Titans just suck. I think they're an expansion franchise. I don't really know. Oh, who's this Mariota guy? Are you kidding me?
Mariota did not have the best performance last week. That's an understatement. DeMarco Murray is still getting all the work. Derrick Henry is not really seeing the field that much. Tajay Sharp has been a disappointment fantasy-wise, and his coach even called him a disappointment, or he's not doing as good as he was week one. So that's not good when you don't get your coach's endorsement. Walker was out last week. Whenever he can play, you want him to go. On the other side of the ball, it wasn't a big week for the Texans either, but they played Thursday against the New England Patriots and got smoked. I look for a nice bounce back game from that offense, especially with their best defensive player out. They're going to probably have to put up points.
Yeah, I was just kidding. The Titans don't suck. I was just baiting you, bro.
Oh.
The Titans, dude, they're pretty decent. They didn't give up an offensive touchdown to the Vikings. They allowed David Carr one touchdown. They allowed only 17 points to the Raiders. And I believe the Raiders are somewhat of a high-powered offense. They were able to shut down the Lions at home. They allowed the Lions 15 points. This is a tough situation for the Texans, and we always have to put ourselves, you know, regionally speaking, this is a division game, you know. This is a rivalry. This used to be the Houston Oilers, you know. This is bitter. Uh-huh. The Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans hate each other. 5 points, 6 points, you know. I see five on my screen, so the fact that I know that you see 4.5, I know that I'm going to get maybe six. I would actually just grab the points. I actually do think J.J. Watt is that important. Not only that, but, man, watching Brock Osweiler play, I don't think everything's there, quite there. Like, the chemistry or the blocking, it's just the timing isn't there. I mean, I know they have, you know, triplet-type star names, like, you know, everybody knows them, Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins, yada, 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 yada. But Fuller... I'm just not buying into the, I'm not buying into the Texans. I know they have rest, though.
Yeah. Brock Osweiler definitely needs to step it up to get some more fantasy value out of that offense. All right. We have the Seattle Seahawks at the New York Jets. Seattle's 2.5-point favorites on the road. Over-under is 41. It's kind of one of the lower ones of the week. Russell Wilson dealing with an injury, man. Do we got to worry about Russell Wilson?
Well, if you're the Jets, no, hell no, you don't have to worry about them. You're the Jets. You just show up. You have a shitty game. You don't even watch that game film. You just worry about putting eight in the box. And the Seattle Seahawks are already thinking about their bye week. I don't even know if they want to bring Russell Wilson make this trip.
Yeah, that line seems kind of low. And Fitzpatrick, the Jets, coming off a terrible game, 6 picks. I don't expect that kind of performance. Their defense is at home. This could be an ugly game, man, but I could also...
Granted, the Jets are hampered by some offensive injuries along to their wideouts. As soon as, like 2.5 hours ago, we got an update saying that Eric Decker was shoulders banged up. He hasn't been able to practice. You know, Brandon Marshall, he kicked his wife, so now he has a bum knee. So, I mean, I know they picked up Austin Seferian Jenkins. You know, can you just plug that guy in? He's talented, but I do like Inunua. Like I said before, Matt Forte, I love. Bala Powell, I think right now it's 40.5. So it already dropped. It was 41.5 this morning when I was listening to some other radio show. So the under's getting hit, bro.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I could see to bet this.
Bet the over. Yeah, I agree.
No, the under.
I was saying wait till it goes down a little bit more and bet the over.
You can take that. Hey, that's exactly what you want to do. If you want to bet the over, let if it's it get going down. You want to, yeah. Mm-hmm. But since I like the under, I just, They're not going to want to let, in my opinion, Ryan Fitzpatrick put it in the air, especially if his two biggest targets are, you know, not 100%, but that's just me.
Right. All right, next up we have the Lions at the Chicago Bears, over under 47.5, Detroit, 2.5-point favorites on the road, division game, Brian Hoyer, he's slinging it to Zach Miller. Oh, this is not going to be a pretty game, but Matthew Stafford has been looking pretty good lately.
Now, has Cuddy been ruled out for the game?
I don't think so. I don't think he's been ruled out officially, but I know that he's pretty cheap on DraftKings, and he's projected to score zero. But you're right. He hasn't been ruled out officially. And that's something you might want to monitor and consider, because if he is back, then I think that improves the value of, like, Eddie Royal and Kevin White and Alshon Jeffrey, that receiving game.
Because I think this line's awfully shady, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's 2.5. It's like all these lines are kind of trap game-ish. Like, you know, the Lions, they were never really in that Green Bay Packer game last week, and it depends what you got, 6, 7, or 8, you covered, pushed, or lost. So this is a division game. I don't think the Bears are playing for their season. I've already read an article where actually they're already in tank mode, so I don't know. Definitely a stay away from game. Fantasy wise, I think you can only really buy Marvin Jones, in my opinion.
Yeah, if Alshon Jeffrey's healthy, he's always a threat. Jordan Howard was the hot pickup of the week, the Bears running back. Theo Riddick got a bunch of carries, but he seems to do better more in that third down back role, so maybe you can take a long shot on Dwayne Washington. He's very cheap.
Yeah, I like that Dwayne Washington kid, actually. Yeah.
So other than that, yeah, I agree with you on the Marvin Jones breakout game. It seems like Stafford loves his connection with him, and they're going to pass a lot. So,
what do you think about this total, Rocha? 47.5.
That's pretty high.
That's awfully high.
I mean, I don't see these defenses. I mean, the Detroit Lions defense has been playing pretty good, but
that's telling me they're expecting Cutler to play. If you have the Bears plus 2.5, not even the field goal, and then you have 47.5, they're not expecting Brian Hoyer. The Lions defense isn't that shitty. They're not expecting Brian Hoyer to pick apart that defense.
I know, man, but Brian Hoyer's, you got to count, he might be turning the ball over. There could be some short fields, and the Lions are going to pass and put up some points.
The Lions, if the Lions win 35-10, still the under would hit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty high is what I said.
So, anyhow, I'm not a big over-unders player, but obviously they're telling you, you know, go find some DFS guys in this matchup. Yeah. Always let Vegas let you know where the DFS guys are.
That's true. That's what I mentioned at the top of the podcast. Manuel, I do not have a line for the Buffalo and New England game. Why don't you help me out with that?
Well, earlier in the week I saw 4.5. There's been some speculation about what's his name? Julian Edelman playing quarterback, taking a snap or two. I don't think it matters. I think the money's going to come in on New England, and I think they're probably going to put it back at like 3, maybe Buffalo plus 2.5. I wish I would have gotten some 4.5. I would have loved that. But, I mean, people got burnt last week. Everybody bet the Texans. Me and you both know that. So I don't think they're going to betray Bill Belichick. They'll never do him wrong again, you know?
Something tells me, I don't know, man. I'm really liking Rex this week. Maybe you can call me crazy if you want. I think fantasy-wise, you're really only going to play a New England running back like Blunt and hope that, he's been doing really good all year because they've been playing pretty conservative and giving him the ball. They're run blocking well. If Garoppolo's in there, then I guess you can look at these wide receivers. Brissett, I don't trust
him. No, man, there's too many games on the board. You can't be looking at Garoppolo. Come on.
I know, man. I agree. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, you have Dak Prescott, if you're really desperate, playing the Niner defense.
I agree. But am I crazy for thinking Rex Ryan in this game? Like, I want to take the Bills.
No, hell no, you're not crazy. You're finally getting some sense.
Well, I didn't have sense before?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just talking about, like, oh, Mr. Square.
Oh, you're right. Maybe I'm evolving like a Pokemon.
Something like that. So, I mean, if you're like, think about it, like last year it would have been like, oh, man, I want this line to come out. I'm just about Bill Belichick. Oh, he's going to be like, fuck you, NFL. I hate you. Die 4-0. Take that. Suck it, baby.
I mean, 4-0. Are they going to go 4-0 without Brady? They got to lose a game, man. They can't go 4-0 without
Brady. Dude, they have their third string quarterback, maybe, who's not even 100%. We don't even know if he's – I mean, like, the extent of his injury because of Bill Belichick. But I just think that, you know, Rex Ryan, he's riled up his troops. He's like, you know, I finally – you guys believe in me. Everybody who's here with us is here to run the ship. And if it goes down, we're going down together. I mean, just players love that shit, you know?
Yeah. Fantasy-wise, man, I think LeSean McCoy is a good play every week, regardless of format. I think that he's not the highest price running back. He's up there, but he just gets the work, like, if they're up or down, you know? Like, he'll get passes, and he'll get carries.
I think with LeSean McCoy, I think I see him as, like, a home road dichotomy guy, like, especially this being a division game, and the New England defense on front seven is like nothing to fuck with, you know? Ask Lamar Miller, ask David Johnson. They've already faced some premier backs and they didn't give nothing up. And so, man, call me, you know, want to be sharp or whatever, but I just see nothing but unders in this motherfucking league this week anyway.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Cleveland at Washington. Washington, 7.5-point favorites. Over-under is 46. Cleveland's been hanging around some games, man. They're frisky. Terrell Pryor, another hot pickup. Did it all last week. Killed my bet. I knew he would. I called it. I knew it was going to happen. I should have went with my gut and either picked that fool up or changed my bet or something. I'm thinking the Washington defense. I'm thinking both defenses aren't going to play that well. Manuel, what do you think?
The Washington defense just got hella lucky. They freaking had Eli Manning. And I'm telling you, there's something wrong with the Giant offense, and I don't want to talk about that. But you can't trust the Cleveland Browns, man. I think if you did bet the Browns last week, which I didn't, I went with the editor. I'm not going to bet on them this week. They're not fielding an NFL quarterback. I hate to say it. You know, it's that simple. And the Redskins, even if their defense ain't as good, they're fielding an NFL defense. So when you have a non-NFL quarterback versus an NFL defense, you know, something's going to happen. Something's bound to give. So, and I mean, maybe the Dolphins overlook them, but I don't think the Redskins can afford to overlook anybody. And you sure as hell aren't going to get the Redskins to take my money, but... Yeah, let's look at some of the fantasy options in this game. You know what I mean? Yeah. DeSean Jackson didn't practice today. Can Matt Jones be an option at home? You know he's always going to catch balls.
I was just going to bring up that name, man. I think that's a good sneaky play. He's been looking pretty good lately. And if they get out to a lead, they're going to want to feed Matt Jones. And I can see them getting out to a lead, throwing the ball, and they definitely need to get their running game going. So
damn, they need to get fucking Jordan Freeman or Jordan Reed a motherfucking touchdown, a sneaky or not, otherwise.
I know, 7 catches for 70 yards like every game. Get that guy in the end zone, please, one time.
So frustrating watching Kirk Cousins come out of the fucking huddle. Dude, I bet DeSean Jackson just wants to kill him. He's like, I'm not going to practice today.
I'm tired of running straight down the field.
Yeah, fuck this.
All right, we got the Oakland Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens. Over under 46, the Ravens 3.5-point favorites at home. The 3-0 Ravens, are they gonna be 4-0?
They can be. This is pretty much I would have more faith on the Raiders, but I don't know what Janikowski is gonna do the night before. You know, if he fucking gets pounded, having some oysters down in Chesapeake Bay and some Sam Adams or some Oktoberfest, shit, that pole, the wind down in Baltimore. Get a little frisky for him, you know what I'm saying? So, now remember, I would love to bet the over in this game.
That was my initial reaction, too.
But I think the Raiders are trying to buckle down. They're trying to, I mean, already last game they had a 100-yard improvement. They only gave up 397 total yards.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Baltimore Ravens, they used to play on turf, and this year they changed to grass.
Slows it down a little bit.
Yeah, that's gonna slow down your burners like Wallace's, like, you know, those guys. But I tend to give the edge to the Oakland Raiders. I don't know if they'll win, but it looks like it's going to 3. My book has it at +3.5 -120. So when they start shedding that juice, you know, having to pay $12 to win 10, it's only a matter of time before it goes to -3 or +3. So I better get on it.
Yeah. I think Crabtree is always an interesting play for the Raiders. He gets a lot of catches. So if you're in a PPR league, Amari Cooper definitely has more upside, but Crabtree is always cheaper. His price is actually going up a little bit on DK, but that's an interesting option. And you know how I feel already. I think this is a good Steve Smith game. He's hella cheap. I remember last year he lit up the Raiders, and he seems to be getting more targets as the weeks go on. This is the week to cash in, Steve Smith.
I hate to interrupt, but I was doing some work on this game, and Derek Carr only has one interception. So he's not being his frivolous self as in years past and just giving up the rock to the other side, you know, via silly fumbles or interceptions. So I give the Raiders a shot here. I know it's a tough spot. They were just in Tennessee. I'm not sure. They probably did come back to Oakland, have to fly back out to Baltimore. But, yeah, I would have loved to bet the over. I just, you know, maybe the best way to protect the defense is feed it to Latavius Murray. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Next up, we have the Denver Broncos on the road against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Over under 44.5. Denver 3-point favorites on the road. Trevor Siemian lit it up. 4 touchdowns last week. Do you think that continues this week?
Yeah, I do, man. Let me say something about Winston. I've heard that Winston is on this tremendous pace that just he's throwing like every down. I mean, and now Doug Martin isn't there. Like I said, his old coordinator is now the head coach. I think he has full faith in him. So, I mean, he's just going to be like, Javis, take us to the promised land. So I could see, you know, a whole bunch of plays in this game. And I don't really see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary stopping anybody. And Siemian does have 2 great weapons on the outside with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. So I think it's going to be a shootout. 44 is kind of low. You talked about your fantasy studs, your Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Mike Evans. I don't know who you think would give us the most value. CJ Anderson had a craptastic week. Do you think he bounces back?
I think he does bounce back, and that's who I really like is CJ Anderson. He's going to get the work. Denver has a really good defense, so they have a chance to play ahead. And maybe people won't be playing him because he did have that craptastic week, and they're going to be all over that passing game. But CJ Anderson gets passes too. I like a bounce back week from CJ Anderson, and Denver defense is good, man. So you're looking at the Bucks. Charles Sims and Mike Evans get passes, and I like Mike Evans regardless who he goes up against because he's a pretty big guy. You could chuck it up and he'll catch it.
Now, what do you think about this line? Do you think it's kind of like disrespect on the Broncos? I mean, you have the Buccaneers who are 1-2, who've gotten beat. They're snot beat out of by Arizona Cardinals who've haven't looked great this year, and then they got beat by the quarterback-less, hadn't scored a touchdown Rams at home, and now they're only favored by 3?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think Tampa Bay was kind of like a favorite, an early-on favorite to try to, like, have a good record and pretend like they don't suck, but I think they kind of suck still, and it's going to take them a while to get it together.
Exactly, and because they kind of suck, don't you think this line should be, like, 7? And we're talking about the Super Bowl champions. Tremendous defense. Trevor Siemian has an arm, unlike Peyton Manning. CJ Anderson has his shit together. The offensive line's doing their job this year.
So what does Vegas know that you don't know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, the Bucks need a win bad. Denver's on the road, coming off a win. Bucks coming off a loss at home. If that line creeps up, you might want to start thinking about the Bucks. Or you might already be thinking about him.
I am, but I just can't believe it came out so short, you know?
It's fishy, man. Something's not right. It makes me want to stay away from that thing.
All these fucking lines, they're at 3 or below.
Yeah, it's a really tight week, man. All right, so we're now into the evening games. New Orleans Saints at San Diego Chargers, 53.5. I believe this is the highest total of the week. Fantasy goodness all around. Sunny Southern California. But the Saints away from home hasn't been the best recipe. I don't care. I still like it, man. I think there's a lot of points. Fantasy goodness. Pick your players on these two teams.
Yeah, and this is homecoming for Drew Brees.
Oh, he would love to stick it to San Diego and Phillip Rivers. You're
exactly
right.
Exactly.
There go some narratives right there. Plus, they're coming off a loss. San Diego is – they're San Diego. They're not the greatest. Dude, give me some points in this game, please. There's going to be some points.
Yeah.
53.5
is a lot. I love
this
4.5. It's 4.5 in my book.
They're 4.5 point favorites?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we're over here salivating, but I'm – yeah, exactly. The thing is, I want to like the Chargers, and I bet them over the season over win totals, but their offense has just been ravaged, and it finally slowed down last week. We know the Indiana Colts defense isn't the greatest. It's not the – it's probably average at best, and they were able to slow down the Chargers. I mean, if the Chargers got a defensive touchdown, that's the only reason that game was close.
Yeah, I know.
Talk about – when I want to talk about the Chargers offensive woes, I mean, they lost Stevie Johnson, who was a projected starter before the season even started.
Yep.
Danny Woodhead is, yep, you know, Phillip Rivers' safety valve. Keenan Allen.
Their best wide receiver.
Antonio Gates. You're talking about maybe at least 65% of their offensive production.
Yeah.
And I like Phillip Rivers as much as the next guy, and the Saints' defense is shit-tastic, but that's a lot to replace within, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. So I would love me some Drew Brees right here, plus 4.5. The fucking total is 53.5. I mean, yeah, this is an overreaction. Everybody saw the Saints couldn't stop. Or maybe nobody saw the Saints. Everybody's watched the debate. Apparently the ratings are down Monday Night Football. But let me tell you this. The Saints looked like they couldn't stop anybody or anything defensively wise. So the Saints offensively can still scheme with the best of them. And they're not all beat up. I know Snead was out. Maybe he's healthy for this game. But that doesn't really matter because Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, Kobe Fleener, you know, they got a plethora of running backs. Plus 4.5 is a lot. I mean, this is the Saints. This is the same Saints team that also went and almost beat the Giants. So homecoming for Drew Brees, that's easy money.
If you want to get real risky with it, Dexter McCluster might be a name. This is his second week with the team. He could get a lot of those dump-off passes from Phillip Rivers if he gets the time. I really like Tyrell this week, Tyrell Williams, as a really cheap fantasy option. Go ahead and start some Breeze and some Saints, you know, pick a receiver. So
I think Melvin Gordon's a play, bro.
Yeah.
Did you see what
I think so. I mean, yeah,
that's
great.
They couldn't stop nobody, like not Tevin, not Devontae Freeman. So
no, I like Melvin Gordon too, man. And you know, like we said, Phillip Rivers lost all these players. Most of them were, well, all of them were pass catchers.
Yeah.
So they need to run the ball. You're right. Melvin Gordon, definitely. I was thinking more long shot kind of thing, but Melvin Gordon is definitely going
to
be a player.
No, we need to give these people money. Give them the money players. But anyhow, yeah, man, I appreciate you backing that up. All right, man, well, let's head on to the next one.
Yay, this is the next afternoon game. The Dallas Cowboys are traveling to California to play the 49ers. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road, over under 46. Manuel, the Niners suck. Blaine Gabbert sucks. And thanks to you, I have a new strategy. I'm taking Dallas.
Yeah, it's too easy, huh?
It's too easy.
So obviously, I see that a half-point minus move was based on the fact that Dez Bryant's injury is obviously not 100%. Man, these guys, I know someone said it, they're dropping like flies, but literally, maybe that's why ratings are down in the NFL. You know, all the fantasy stars aren't playing, you know, whether it's Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Keenan Allen. I can go on and on with the quarterbacks that are hurt, not 100%. But yeah, I can't. I'm not going to sit here and make the case for the Niners because I can't. All I can really say is maybe tune in and watch if it's a local game like it is for us, because maybe Blaine Gabbert will shit crappy enough, or, you know, be sorry enough, and maybe Colin Kaepernick will get in, you know, really stick at some of the people that don't like him. So I actually can't wait to see him. He's going to get in, right, Rocha? Like, eventually.
Yeah, he is, and there's all this talk about, oh, his weight's not up, and he needs to learn the playbook better. But I'm just like, dude, if we get to that Buffalo game next Thursday and Blaine Gabbert still looks like Blaine Gabbert, which I expect to happen, then you got a extended break. You're going to put Kaepernick in there because then you have a couple games before the bye. And we're going to see Kaepernick, you know, sooner or later. And I hope it's sooner rather than later because I'd rather just know that if he sucks, like, at least, like, we know, okay, both our quarterbacks suck ass.
Dude, and we can just, you know, live with it. I think that organization is done with Colin, by the way. So
they could be.
He's probably just auditioning for, like, I don't know, another team.
But they're
not. The Browns. He's probably auditioning for the Browns.
He's not a – dude, they can't trade him. He's on a year-to-year contract. They'll cut him and not owe him anything. Teams know.
Yeah, exactly. But he's still auditioning for them. I understand. I'm saying, like, yeah. So, he's auditioning. I understand he's not going to get traded.
Well, so then what's the point in auditioning? That it doesn't matter. Niners would rather just cut him.
It does matter. You want to have a quarterback that's, you know, that's going to – that can actually play in the NFL. You don't want to just sign him.
It matters for other teams. It doesn't matter for the Niners is what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. He's auditioning for the Browns. I gave an example of the Browns, but, I mean, he could play for the Rams right now.
Yeah. Well, either way – he's probably not going to play this game unless Gabbert gets hurt. Carlos Hyde got two super jump touchdowns last week against the Seahawks. At least that tells me that even if they're down by 30, that they're still running their starters out there. So maybe Hyde is still a good – he's really cheap, you know, 4,200 on draft.
What are Curley's prospects? I really like that kid. And, I mean, is he getting the rock or what's going on?
His quarterback's Blaine Gabbert, so why don't you figure that one out? I'm kind of bitter, dude. Niners suck.
I wasn't trying to, like, bring more bitterness onto you. I was actually trying to learn because I'm like, all right, I'm just going to leave it to Rocha to watch the Niner games for me because I can't – they fucking – yeah, they're not watchable, bro. But anyhow.
Yeah, well, guess what? I do watch them, and it sucks. Yeah, let's move on, man. We have an NFC West matchup. The Los Angeles Rams travel to Arizona. Not a big distance to travel. 42.5 is the over-under. Arizona, 8-point favorites at home. Man, you say Carson Palmer looks off. Does he get back on against this defense?
Nope. Give me the Rams money line.
Hey, do you remember when we were arguing at the beginning of the year, our rankings, and we were like, oh, Fitzgerald, Floyd, Brown, like, who's the wide receiver we picked, da-da-da. It's pretty clearly like that was a stupid argument because it's Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah, it is. But it's going to not even matter because I think the Cardinals – shit, the Cardinals might offer Colin Kaepernick a job the way Carson Palmer keeps playing offense. But nah. Dude, the Rams are going to give the ball to Gurley, and he's going to carve up that defense. They find the balls to get – they find ways to get the ball into Tavon Austin's hands. The Rams' defense is – you know, they'll punch you back, and they could take a punch. So – this is going to be a slobber knocker of a game. The total's telling you so. I mean, I don't know how you can lay 8 with the Cardinals if the total is fucking 43, you know, 42.5, 43. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man, that's a lot of points to lay against the Rams. They have a pretty good defense. It is a division game, but fantasy-wise, David Johnson's a stud. You're going to play him regardless. Fitzgerald's pretty safe. Other than that, man, Gurley – maybe Tavon. He's pretty cheap still. Good luck with all the rest of the guys, man. Yeah? No?
Yeah. Oh. Sunday night football, baby.
Yeah, Sunday night. Kansas City Chiefs at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh coming off that beatdown. 47.5 is the total. 5-point favorites at home. Does Pittsburgh bounce back in a big way, in a real way, with Le'Veon Bell?
I mean, what's the big way? Like, they beat Kansas City 40-20?
That would be nice.
No, they don't do that. This game's going to be close. Pittsburgh Steelers were already looking forward to having Le'Veon Bell back this week. I think that's part of the reason they didn't show up against the Eagles. It was the perfect spot for the Eagles, a perfect storm. I mean, the line was 3. We talk about all these iffy lines. I didn't bet that game because I wanted to take Pittsburgh, and I just thought, like, it's too cheap, man. How the hell can they be 3-point favorites, you know? But, no, I like the Chiefs in this game. I think the Chiefs can also will also debut their running back in Jamal Charles. So they have plenty of players to have ball control and keep the ball away from Ben, from the ball, from the game getting away from them, in my opinion.
Right.
The Chiefs tend to struggle against elite, you know, teams that can offer an elite pass rusher, you know, such as J.J. Watt and such. So I think this is going to be a very fun Sunday night game. I don't have an opinion on the over-under, but I think it's going to be a close game. And I don't think it's going to be a runaway.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs can definitely hang in there. They have a pretty good defense and a pretty good offense. They're just, you know, pretty good. 5 points seems like a lot, but I will say that this might be one of the best matchups of the day. I'm looking forward to this game, and I think there's a lot of good fantasy options here. You can never go wrong with Antonio Brown. I like Kelce to continue. This might be a good Macklin game as well. You said something about Jamal Charles coming back. Do we know he's coming back for sure?
I don't. Hopefully you do.
I do not, and I don't think that there's news out there. I've been trying to follow it. The expectation is that he could play, but it hasn't been officially announced yet. So you might want to keep track of that, because if he can't go, then this could be another Spencer Ware game. He gets a lot of the work, and he could be worth it if he's if Jamal Charles can't go.
And I think the Chiefs could do it, can hang in there with the Steelers regardless of whether Jamal Charles plays or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Me too. I was just saying fantasy wise.
You know, I'm not going to turn around and say, oh, well, the Chiefs got blown out because Jamal Charles didn't play. If they get blown out, my bad. You know, but I haven't bet it yet. I see it 4.5. It was at 6. So I obviously missed the boat. We'll see what happens Sunday night if I get the itch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, Manuel, one more game. Monday night, New York Giants traveled to the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota, 4.5-point favorites at home, over under 43.5. That Minnesota defense is shutting fools down. Are they going to do the same thing against the Giants?
No. No, I think ideally the Vikings are the better team, and they will go farther than the Giants this year. But it just – speaking from a spot, this is a ridiculous spot for the Vikings to be in. I mean, I know they're at home. They're going to be amped up for Monday Night Football. But this is just another game they have to get up for emotionally, get charged up for, and win. And I don't think they could do it. The Giants, especially coming off that home loss, a division rival, the Redskins, I mean, they're ready to hit the road and take care of business. And I know they got their ass beat by the Vikings last year. It's like, I think, like, without ODB, it was like the Vikings just kept pouring it on. And Eli, I don't know if he has a good memory, but I think he remembers that ass whooping. And the Vikings, what I mean by emotionally charged is they just got up to beat Aaron Rodgers in their home opener 2 Sunday nights ago. Then last week, they got up and played Cam Newton, and they sacked him 8 times and beat him and showed him that they're probably the best in the NFC. Conference, you know, legitimate conference champion or legitimate conference contenders. So I think this sets up very nice for the Giants. You know, we talked about their improved defense, and I think now they've spent some extra time. ODB and Eli are going to start to click. We know Victor Cruz is healthy. Sterling Shepard's a stud. So I think it sets up nicely for a Giants money line.
All right, there you have it. There's a That's a nice money line if you can get it.
Plus 200.
Yeah. All right, Manuel. You got anything else to add? I would say keep a lookout Friday or Saturday.
No, I mean, yeah, I want to add that I'm excited about, you know, seeing which ones of my money makers I'll be releasing. So be on the lookout, because I definitely am looking forward to making you money and improving on the record. So and also look out for our editor. He's definitely going to bounce back. I know I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I hope so, in a big way. All right, Sports Gamble Podcast, NFL Week 4. We're out. Peace.
We out.
Tired of losing? Not winning enough? Sports Gamble Podcast. Your mom's favorite Sports Gamble Podcast.